Hello and welcome to the latest Talking Points podcast. As ever, my name's James Skoltok and I'm the IMI's Motor Pro magazine editor. Joining me today is IMI CEO Steve Mash to discuss some of the biggest issues facing the industry and how the IMI is helping to address them. So, without further ado, let's dive in. Super. Right, so I should really start asking about the British Motor Show, which is on the horizon next month, and the IMI has got it's got a decent space at the show and is going to have a really good presence as well. So I guess initially, what are the IMI's plans for the British Motor Show?
Motor shows are an interesting thing, really, because traditional motor shows, you know, as we used to know them at NEC or previously at Earls Court, or even, you know, some of the bigger international shows like Geneva and Frankfurt and so on, seem to have died a bit of a death. You know, that they're no longer giving the public what the public want. What the organisers of the British Motor Show have done, have come up with, I think, really a good something different. Which, so they call it a motor show, but it's kind of a cross between a motor show and a car festival, really. And our presence there, we've always been there to sort of host the technical areas. I mean, it's obviously an opportunity for us to meet with members who come along as well, but it's a public show. It's not an industry show as such. I mean, so the audience is members of the general public who come along to kind of engage with cars in every single way you can think of, you know, lots of live action going on and so on. And for us, it's an opportunity to it's a great opportunity, actually, to address some of the perceptions of the industry. You know, it's an opportunity to open people's eyes about careers that are available in the industry, get them to understand what the industry is about today, you know, so to showcase current technologies and emerging technologies, help people to understand what the whole of all the changes that are going on in the industry really mean. That's where our sweet spot is, really. It's talking. We get great engagement with many young people who come to talk to us about, you know, what the industry is all about and whether or not it might be a place for them, you know, to find a career.
I guess that's really important, though, isn't it? Because, you know, traditionally the IMI will go to events such as Automechanica, but that's industry related. So you need to be speaking to general public to gain excitement from youngsters, as you mentioned, as automotive as a place to head for post-education and for careers.
Well, you have to sort of assume that anybody who's come along to an event like that has an interest in cars. You know, that's what it's all about, isn't it? There's, as I say, there's plenty of live action goes on there. There's as much goes on outside as inside. It's all at Farnborough Airfield, and there's a big outdoor space with lots of dynamic stuff going on. But those are people that we should be speaking to. You know, I mean, quite often you've got whole families that turn up, so you've got a brilliant opportunity not just to talk to young people, but to talk to their influencers as well. Because we all know that's a critical thing. It's, you know, parents can have a massive influence, positive and negative, on a young person's choices. To actually have an opportunity to kind of softly educate all of them at the same time is absolutely brilliant. You know, with some immersive stuff, we have things like, for example, our VR, our virtual reality paint spraying equipment there, which we get incredible engagement with things like that. You know, we'll have a lot of tech there this year. We'll have a lot of VR headsets and things like that, which will enable people to understand, you know, where the industry is going, what it will look like working in automotive in the future. As I say, you don't get many opportunities like that. We all attend, you know, not just the IMI, but all of the industry bodies and so on. We all attend many automotive events, as you rightly say. I mean, they're really good opportunities. I mean, Automechanica recently was a great opportunity. There were a lot of students there, and it was great to rev up their enthusiasm about the choices that they've made. But we still need a lot of people who have not necessarily considered automotive as a career to do so, because we have this, you know, record number of vacancies, 26,000 vacancies across the sector outside of the factory gates. and you know, a lot of spaces we need to fill, new talents we need to bring into the industry, a more diverse population of people coming in who bring different skills, different thoughts, and who are suitable for an industry that's, you know, beginning to move in a new direction.
Mm. And I guess the interactive approach, actually allowing people to experience in some small part what the industry is all about and what skills are involved, it's probably critical, isn't it? Because personally, I could write about the topic saying that we need to bring in new people and how exciting everything is, but to actually be able to physically show them the options out there is probably the most important part, arguably.
I mean, of course it is. And I think that, and that's not just about standing in front of people and talking. It's active engagement, isn't it? It's much more, you know, I don't know the numbers, but I know that some of the best selling and most engaged with video games are automotive related. You know, they're racing games. I mean, dare I say, they're even things like Grand Theft Auto. But that's maybe going in a slightly different direction. But definitely the huge amount of engagement with the sort of racing games and things like that. And yet, it's a rhetorical question. But how many of those young people actually connect that enjoyment and that engagement with maybe working in the industry that it's all about, you know? And we can make that connection. And I think particularly if they understand more and more the difference between what they're doing in front of their screen with their headsets on is not so very different to where we're going with automotive generally. I think, you know, there's a great opportunity to have a meeting of minds there and to attract some people who have got interest and talent and put them into an industry that they'll thoroughly enjoy being in.
And you mentioned the use of virtual reality, but you're also going to have a full-sized replica of a garage service bay as well, aren't you, along with combustion engine vehicles and EVs as well?
Well, that's the thing. There are a couple of key things that are happening at the motor show. One of them is the formal official launch of our Perceptions campaign. So this is a campaign we've been working on with a huge amount of assistance, I have to say, from one of our vice presidents, Linda Jackson, who is the chief executive of Peugeot worldwide. And she has given us the services of her international marketing agency and her international head of marketing, who have enabled us to put together a campaign that we wouldn't have had the horsepower to put together on our own. And this is all about, rather than banging on about misperceptions, you know, Arthur Daly, Phil Mitchell from EastEnders and all the rest of it, it's about talking about creating new perceptions, using real people to talk about what they do in automotive, so that members of the public and people who might potentially work in our industry get the opportunity to see people they wouldn't expect doing jobs they didn't know exist, you know, and understanding that the perceptions they may have had of our industry are probably quite wrong. And the fact that we've got a full working, we will have a full working garage, if you like, there at the is an opportunity again to show what really happens day to day in a modern automotive environment, rather than what people think happens. So it sort of underlines what the campaign is talking about, really. It shows people that there's far more engagement through computers and electronics than there is, grease and oil.
Yes.
And that there is no job that's excluded from anybody, you know. So whatever gender, race, background you have, you wouldn't be excluded from any of this. You don't have to be a big strong guy to do that work anymore, you know. There's equipment available that means anybody can do it. I mean, one of the people who's worked with us on our equity, diversity and inclusion task force ran a garage fully staffed by people who were disabled in one way or another, but it never stopped them doing a highly productive job. And it just goes to show that our industry is capable of being totally inclusive, and we want to demonstrate that, and we want to get anybody and everybody who comes to the show to engage in that, whoever they are and whatever their background is. You know, we want to demonstrate there's something here for you.
I was going to ask, actually, and you may have already answered this, but I was going to ask, who who are you hoping to have conversations with then at the British Motor Show?
Well, I mean, look, it's incredibly well attended, and I know that the organisers are optimistic of it being even better attended this year than in the last 2 years. And I mean, the attendance went up quite significantly last year. We want to talk to anybody who's there, absolutely anybody who's there. And it is a very broad mix of the general public. It really is. It's, you know, let's be honest, you know, whatever people might say to the contrary, you know, the reality is we can't live without cars. They're an essential part of our transport infrastructure. You know, if you happen to live in the centre of London, you know, and you never travel outside of London, you're probably okay relying on public transport, the tube and buses and taxis and so on, and Uber. But not London's a big city, but it's not the whole country. You know, where I live out in Norfolk, you would be really, really limited if you didn't have the ability to travel between points using cars. So I mean, cars are personal transport is here to stay in its many different forms. As an industry, I think we're rising to the challenge of, you know, carbon neutrality and the wider environmental issues. I don't think any other industry is doing more than we are doing. You know, we've been set some incredibly tough targets, and we're moving towards them. You know, we're rising to those challenges. So I think that, you know, I mean, as I say, you are to a certain extent preaching to the converted at a motor show, because why would you be at a motor show if you were anti-car? You know, I expect, so I'm sure that most of the people there are don't need convincing of what I've just said. But nevertheless, even if they did, you know, I mean, we can demonstrate that there's plenty going on in our industry that is positive from an environmental perspective. So I think, you know, there really is something in it for everybody.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, for the people who are attending, for youngsters, for example, who are being taken by parents, the parents may have a strong love of the motor vehicle, but the kids may think more in terms of that mobility tag. So not necessarily just about, oh, I like that particular car, but I like the idea of that technology as a mobility option. So I guess you're going to try and you've got to try and capture both people's imaginations.
Yes, you have. There is, I mean, you know, we know through various engagements that we have, you know, recently the Move 2023 event that happened at Excel in London over 2 days, you know, that is a good example of the entire mobility ecosystem and infrastructure being presented at the same time. You know, it's everything from, you know, big electric and hydrogen trucks down to, you know, micro mobility. And look, you know, that's all there at the British Motor Show too. And people, I think most people outside of the industry don't necessarily fully understand what the mobility thing is all about. But you can see that. I mean, all of the different elements of it and how they interlock, and, you know, the everything from how we integrate with public transport to that, you know, that last mile transport, whatever that looks like, whether it's an electric scooter or an electric bike or whatever it might look like, you know, all of those things are incorporated. And they can see all of that, you know, over those 3 days in August. They can see all of those things and try them out, you know. And that was the first time, actually, I think I rode an electric scooter, actually, was at the British Motor Show, you know. I mean, where they had loads and loads of different types there, and people who could explain to you, you know, what the differences were and why you would choose one over another, depending on your requirements and what have you. So I think it is important for people to understand. You can't go backwards. You can only go forwards in this world. So we can't go back to a feudal time when everybody lived and worked in individual little villages and hamlets. You know, we all need to travel to work, to live, to socialise, and all those other things. And I mean, for decades post-war, town planning has approved, you know, the development of big shopping centres on the outside of town, most of which don't have public transport links, you know, or not very good public transport links. So, you know, I remember well as a kid, my mum sort of doing 50% of her shopping at the local shops that she could walk to, the little local parade of shops, and the other 50% she'd have to get on the bus and go into town and come back carrying big heavy bags with full of food. Well, people don't do that anymore, do they? You know, they travel to the commercial park, and they, you know, wherever the local supermarkets or hypermarkets are based, and that makes sense. That makes sense. So, you know, you can't go back on that. You can't go back to what it was like when, you know, when I was a kid. You know, we have to move on, and we have to find ways of making that work that fit current environmental requirements. And that's what the whole mobility thing is about. It's making sure that, you know, all needs are covered, and that all of the different aspects of mobility are interlinked. You know, as a born Londoner and somebody who until a year ago had lived in and around London all my life, you know, I was probably one of the last of the few who would still drive into town, you know. But I wouldn't anymore. It doesn't make sense. It's, you know, it's by design, it's car unfriendly, you know, it's incredibly expensive when you've paid all the levies and things you need to pay, whether it's congestion charges or whatever, the parking charges and everything. It doesn't make sense. So it makes absolute sense to have links that enable you to connect your car up with getting on a train or a bus or whatever. And we all understand that, you know. So people can see what that all looks like, and they can interact with it at the motor show.
Yeah, perfect. I do have to ask, how did you find the electric scooter then, your first experience of using one?
I found the scooter, I mean, a lot of fun. It's the same as electric bicycles. I mean, there's no getting away from it. You get on, you know, I've ridden a few electric bicycles where you kind of feel like Hercules, don't you? You know the bike is going along with you making relatively little effort. Yeah, it's a fun experience, actually. The good thing is it brings that kind of mobility to people who might otherwise find that too much like hard work, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. And again, out of interest, have you tried the virtual reality spray painting then as well?
Oh yeah, I have. There's loads and loads of interesting things that come out of that. I mean, we find wherever we take it, but particularly at the motor show where you get a very mixed audience trying it, really weird because you get to choose the colour you spray paint, and particularly male and female participants tend to gravitate towards certain colours. I don't know why, but male participants invariably choose red, you know. I think females choose different colours to that, so that probably says something about the different psychologies.
Yeah.
Actually, what we also find is that the females who have a go at it are often better than the males at first off, because they take a bit more time and have a bit more attention to detail, which is interesting. Actually, the great thing about it is that, you know, a number of our centres, the people who deliver, you know, our IMI qualifications, all the students have a go at it, and they all get scores, and they look at each other's scores, and it's like, I want to have another go. And they might have a dozen or more goes, and you could, and why not? They can. And the good thing is it's close enough to the real thing that the skills they're learning will translate when they actually do the real job. So it's both a fun thing to do, but a really, really good teaching tool. I think, you know, the fact that we find people who might not realise they have an innate ability at this stuff, and as I say, particularly females, who you don't see too many of in paint shops, do you, actually?
No.
You know, it opens people's eyes to something they might be interested in doing, which they would never have thought of.
Very, very important.
Yeah, it is, because they're unlikely to see too many role models, as things stand, you know.
Yeah, which I guess brings us back to the perceptions campaign and getting the voices out there of people who have managed to draw a career from automotive and been successful, so people can look at those voices and say, oh, that could be me. I see myself in that person.
Well, absolutely. And this is where we need the industry to play their part, really, because up to the motor show, we're doing some regional work with the campaign just to sort of create some interest and get some feedback. But mainly it's to generate interest from people who say, I would be willing to be featured in that campaign, because we want as many real voices, real images, real case studies as we can possibly get. And I'm delighted to say that already we've had, I think, yeah, we've only just really started trialing the campaign on a regional basis, and we've already had over 30 people come forward, and a good percentage of female candidates as well, saying I'd be glad to be featured in this. And we want every kind of example, and I think, you know, we'll be running the campaign very actively from August through to the end of the year, and then looking for more industry engagement to carry it on as long as we need to carry it on, you know, to start really generating the interest from outside that we need to bring these talented young people into our industry.
Okay, well, just to round things off, and I think I can kind of guess what you may answer this question, but for those who are heading to the British Motor Show, once they've gone through the entrance gates, where's the first place they should head?
Oh, well, of course they should head to that. I think we're in the first hall you come to this year. So they should definitely look for us. I mean, you know, people will naturally go and have a look outside at all the things that are going on, you know, the interactive stuff that's going on out there. But they should definitely come and find us and look for our garage setup. There's plenty to engage with there, and lots of members of the team on hand to engage with. So please come and find us. We won't be difficult to find because we're in a prominent position. We're one of the key partners this year. Yeah, please come and find us. We'll be looking forward to seeing you.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to head straight over to the tech hub and find out where the virtual reality spray painting is to see if I can do as good a job as you or someone else.
Well, yeah, we'll test you. I mean, whatever score you've got, I can assure you, because I don't think mine was recorded, so I can tell you mine was better, can't I? You know, I'll have another go myself, James. I mean, it's only fair, isn't it, that I put myself out there and have another batch at it. It's fun to do, actually. It's really good and amazingly close to the real thing.
Oh, in that case, challenge accepted. You've got me.
Well, British Motor Show, if you can get along there, get along, because it's a lot of fun. It's a good day out, and there's more than enough to see. You know, I think as far as the perceptions campaign is concerned, I just want to re-emphasise the fact that, you know, look, you know, we as the industry's professional body take our role in generating interest from people wanting to work in our sector very, very seriously. But, you know, there are 600 and odd thousand people working in the industry outside of the factory gates. We can't do it alone. So the more we get engagement from everyone in the sector, and the more people want to participate and support the campaign, the bigger effect we'll have. So, you know, it's not just our job to make it happen and to address this burgeoning vacancy problem that the industry has. It's, you know, we'll create the playing field, if you like, but we need everybody else to play on it.
That's all we have time for, unfortunately, but thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again on the next podcast.